If you're trying to reduce the toxins in your home, here's a tip for a product to swap. Your traditional laundry detergent is likely full of phthalates, parabens, fragrances, which is a super red flag, and countless other harmful ingredients. The reason these are important to look out for is because they disrupt your hormones and are linked to cancer and many other health concerns. There's a ton of studies that show this to be true, unfortunately. So think of what you wash your clothes in and the chemicals that linger in the fabric you wear on your skin every day. Believe it or not, it has an impact. So I encourage you to make this small swap and try out my favorite non-toxic laundry wash from Truly Free. It's a Christian-owned company, which is a huge plus, that is committed to making products that are truly clean and toxin-free. Right now, they gave me a huge deal of 250 loads or 5 jugs of laundry detergent for literally $39. For reference, you guys, it would cost about $50 to get 250 loads of Tide detergent. And Tide detergent is pretty bad. So not only are you mega saving, but you are making a difference in your home and lowering your family's toxin burden. The only way you can get this deal is if you click the link in my show notes or comment laundry on any one of my Instagram posts. Hey friends, welcome back. Today's episode is going to be a little bit of a catch up. If you heard last week's episode, you heard that I decided to take a week off social media, that was 2 weeks ago's episode. But then last week I was sharing on my Instagram about some of the beautiful fruits of taking a week off social media. And y'all voted to have a podcast episode to really debrief it, get into it, share the fruits. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing here today, as well as giving you a couple other updates. I wanted to just share with you what that week off social media was like, what came up, what God revealed, what I learned, and I'm still learning. And I also wanted to tell you about a book that I started reading during that time that is absolutely rocking my world. And I mean that. And lastly, just to give you a little update on the podcast, I'll tell you more about it at the end, but we're going to take a little summer break. So I'll leave you with that. Listen to the end to get the full update. Let's chat. Let's just have a little coffee date, you and me, fill you in on all the things.
Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be.
So first, let's talk about the week off social media, because guys, it was really, really, really good. Better than I expected. I think that when I initially was thinking about doing it, I was kind of uncomfortable with the idea, because not just because, you know, sometimes it's hard to step away from social media. It can be very consuming sometimes, but also because it's my job. And so it just felt like, wow, I'm just going to take a week off of a major part of my work. I don't know. I was struggling with that a little bit, but I decided to do it and it was really good. And what made it so good is that it finally gave me silence that I didn't realize I needed. I just didn't realize how much noise was actually in my life until I stepped away from the constant scrolling, checking, uploading, and just, I don't know, consuming things online. I realized I was consuming a lot more than I was creating. And even for someone who's not a creator, I just feel like over consuming social media or binging TV or stuff like that, or never allowing space for silence, can affect you and can almost like drain you. Like it is energy taking, even if we don't realize it. So as soon as that noise quieted in my life, I realized that so much bubbled to the surface, like stuff that I realized had been stirring in my soul for months, just things that I hadn't really made space to sit with or to talk to the Lord about, finally had room to come up. Another thing that I took away from that week that I absolutely loved was that I had time to do some leisurely things that I usually never make space for. I started reading this book I mentioned that my friend Megan Wells actually had recommended to me kind of on accident, which I'll talk about that more in a second, but truly is rocking me. I took a one-day silent retreat. I painted, which I hadn't done in so long. I used to paint all the time growing up and I love doing it. And so I just hadn't done it in years. And I actually bought a canvas and paints and I sat down and I painted. It was so good for my soul. And I went to the pool several times that week with my sister-in-law and just really allowed myself the space to rest. What was weird though was how hard it was at first, those first couple days, to not immediately try to fill that silence with something or that like stillness with something. So I noticed this like really strong urge to do things around the house, like this thought of like, okay, if I'm not working now, I have time. So now that I have time, I can do things around the house and I can get ahead on housework. And once my house is clean and my to-do list is done, then I'll really have time to rest. But I started quickly noticing that pattern and I saw that for what it was. And it was just this pattern in me to, when I feel overwhelmed, I respond by making a giant to-do list and trying to do all of it. And it's like I have an aversion to unproductivity, if that makes sense. Like I'm trying to make use of every moment. And so basically, I just had this moment where I realized like that's not how I want to respond to needing this rest. So I continued to challenge myself. And when I had that urge to be productive just for the sake of being accomplished, I asked myself like, what would actually be restful right now? Sometimes that meant going for a walk with the dog or planning a little coffee date with a friend or texting my sister-in-law and being like, let's meet at the pool, because I just needed to get out of the house and away from the temptation to just keep doing. And the more I leaned into that, the easier it got. And I think also reading this book and kind of getting more into the book really opened my eyes to noticing these type of behaviors and what perfectionism looked like played out in my day to day. And it was really, really helpful. So anyways, so it's time to talk about the book. So this book is called The Heart of Perfection by Colleen Carol Campbell. And my friend Megan Wells, if you follow her on Instagram, her handle is at Megs_Wells with two L's. She's a dear friend of mine. And we were just texting in a group chat, just, I don't even know what about, but she just sent a picture of her like setting up a really cozy, like drawing a bath. And she had her little like bath tray with a drink and her book. And so I asked like, oh, like what book are you reading? And then she sent me a closer photo and a couple of screenshots of the pages that she liked. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel so called out by this book. I have to read this. So the title is Heart of Perfectionism. And then the subtitle is How the Saints Taught Me to Trade My Dream of Perfect for God's. And as soon as I read that, I was like, yeah, that's exactly, I feel like where I'm at. Like I have this notion or this dream of what perfect looks like. And I feel like trading that for God's plan is like a sacrifice, right? Like God is asking me to trade this perfect plan that I have in my head for his plan, which, hello, is already perfect. Mine's the one that's not. So as soon as I read that title, I was like, okay, I already relate. And then in the screenshots that she sent, it talks about perfectionists and especially spiritual perfectionists who tend to push themselves constantly under the guise of holiness or growth, and how we pressure ourselves to do more, to be better, to grow faster. But sometimes that's not what God's asking us to do at all. And when we keep striving for that version of perfect, we're actually being disobedient and we're actually thinking that we know better than God. And so when I read that too, I was like, wow, that's me. Like that totally called me out. And yeah, as I kept reading, that was just when I read the screenshot, but then as I started reading it, I just felt like the author was putting language to parts of myself that I actually didn't even know how to name or what to put words to, and I felt super seen and super convicted, and I just felt this invitation to let go of this false identity that I've built around perfectionism, and as I prayed about it, I felt like I saw this image in my mind, this gorgeous big castle. Like I've built this castle of perfectionism. And it's shimmering and shining. And I realize that I've like built my identity around this castle of perfectionism that I've like, yeah, prided my life to be on. And now I feel like the Lord is gently saying, like, let me take it down, like brick by brick. Let me crumble it. Let me show you what's underneath. And if I'm being honest, I feel like that is so scary at times to think about, because I think like, what if when we break that down, like what if there's nothing there? Like what could be better than this castle, right? It's that same idea that like, how could God have a better plan? Like I thought of everything, you know what I mean? Like I planned it all out. And also like, what if this castle like is who I am? Like, who am I going to be if this isn't like my identity anymore? I don't know, you know, and obviously those things aren't true. And I know in my heart that underneath that castle, there's something even more precious that the Lord wants to reveal to me and wants to give to me. And, you know, my guess is that it's my true identity as his beloved daughter. And we know that truth in our heads, right? Like we say it, we teach it, we know it in our heads, but it takes work to actually live it. And I truly feel like this book is helping me to start actually live it. So I'm going to make sure that I link it in the show notes so you can find it if you feel like the Lord is nudging you to read it as well. And one of the things too that I feel like stood out to me so much is one of the early saint stories in the book is about Saint Jane Frances de Chantal. I probably just totally butchered that pronunciation. Saint Jane Frances de Chantal. Maybe that's better. She was this high achieving, driven woman, very perfectionist, and her first spiritual director was super harsh with her. And it just made things worse. And I mean, there's so much more to her story, but the point here is that then she met Saint Frances de Sales, who received her with so much gentleness, and it changed everything for her. And that word gentleness, I realize, has been echoing in my heart for months. Like if I ever snapped at Trey or got short with somebody or just like felt myself have like less patience, I like would hear this like inner nudge of just like, gentleness, Mari, like have gentleness, like be gentle. And I kind of kept thinking to myself like, okay, how? Like, what does this look like? And like, why am I struggling to be gentle? Like, a wife and a mother is gentle, you know, like she's the heart of her home. Like, I don't want to be this like, you know, rigid, not loving, like woman. I want to be gentle. And then around Pentecost, I saw that gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh, like this is the Holy Spirit trying to teach me something. So when I read in the book about Frances de Sales constantly pointing Jane towards gentleness, I felt like the Lord was talking directly to me. And I'm only like 5 or 6 chapters in, but I already know this book is going to be a big part of the work that God is doing in my heart right now. And I know that he is leading me towards gentleness and patience and yeah, trust, like really trusting that the Lord is good and that his plans are good and better than mine, which gosh, like as a perfectionist, sometimes it's hard to believe that or let that go or really let go of your plan. But I'm kind of like, part of me feels like there's going to be a relief, you know, like part of me is like, wow, like if his plans are really that much better, like what a relief. Like I can let go of all the hard work, right? And just kind of fall back in trust. Okay. So on top of all this, I did a 1-day silent retreat, which is hilarious because I have avoided silent retreats for years. And after reading the book and realizing like, okay, this perfectionism is like really deeply rooted in my identity. We need to heal. We need to grow. I finally was able to acknowledge it's not the end all be all and it's not all good. It has served me in many ways and it has gotten me to where I am in many ways. But at the same time, it has also done damage and we have to acknowledge that. And so when I was able to acknowledge that, I was like, okay, great. Now I need to fix it. And it's hilarious because like I'm even approaching this with that kind of like intense mindset. And so I literally like sat Trey down and I was like, look, I think I need a 7-day silent retreat because I need to fix this. And he looked at me and he's like, Mari, I've been trying to get you to go on a weekend silent retreat for years. And you've always said no because you hate silence. And I was like, yeah, but now I need 7 days to fix this problem because now God revealed to me the problem. So now I need to fix it. And he's like, that's literally your perfectionism talking. Like that is impatience right there, like not trusting the Lord to lead you and guide you in his process of working in your heart and you thinking that you can just fix it in 7 days. And I was like, okay, yeah, called out. Okay, we're learning. This was like step one, you know, we're learning. So I compromised and I did a 1 day retreat. And there's an Abbey near our house. And my other friend, Cecilia, gosh, not Pappas, that was her maiden name, Cecilia Brennan. I always forget her new last name. She's also on Instagram at Cecilia Jean Blog. She had just gone there recently. And so I was texting her about this and she was telling me, like, you should just go to this Abbey. It's gorgeous. You can just show up and do a retreat there, you know, call the sisters. And so I was like, okay. So I reached out to the sisters at the Abbey and I called the day before and I was like, hi, I want to come for a silent retreat. Like, any chance I can stop by tomorrow? I called on a Sunday, not knowing if they would pick up, and then they did. And then she said, yeah, just come on tomorrow. And she said, you're in luck. Monday is our day of perpetual adoration. So adoration will be exposed all day. And I was like, wow, what a perfect day to go. So I drove up there. It was about an hour away from my house, really like kind of in the mountains a little bit and on a ranch. This is what the sisters do. So there was cattle and horses and farm dogs and everything. And I brought my journal, my Bible, the book I'm reading about perfectionism. It's an audiobook. So I brought my headphones and then I brought another book and some paints and canvas in case I had extra time. Basically just like I had a full day planned for myself. And I wrote it all in my notes app the night before, the exact times I would read or pray or journal or whatever, rosary, classic, you know? So anyways, when I got there, I had this plan in my mind, went straight to the chapel and started my holy hour. And immediately I kind of felt like my mind was like buzzing. You know, I was journaling and I was praying and I was just like trying to get it all out and just trying to be like, okay, God, like we're here to do this. Here's where I'm at. Like, tell me what to do, you know? Lord, I'm here. Let's fix this. Let's do this. Like I'm listening. You know, what do I do? And I felt nothing. And I was getting kind of frustrated because I'm like, gosh, like, is this how it's going to be today? So I closed my journal. I looked at Jesus in the Eucharist and I was like, okay, Lord, we have 7 hours here. Please don't make this like pulling teeth. Like, let's make the most use of our time. What do you have for me today? Like, where do I begin? And I just felt him say so clearly in my heart, I love you. Today, I want you to bask in my love. And I was like, seriously? Like, thank you, Lord. Like, I love you too. And I love the reminder that you love me, right? Like, it's always a good reminder. But is that it? Like, you're not going to give me a 3-step plan to overcome perfectionism. You're not going to give me a, you know, verse in the Bible inspiration so I can pray over, you know, healing. You just want me to bask in your love. And I felt, you know, that just his words in my heart one more time. I love you. Today, I want you to bask in my love. And I just felt that really strongly. So I believed it. And I deleted the schedule in my notes app and I just let the Lord lead. And I finished my holy hour just in silence, just like sitting in the Lord's presence, just gazing at him and just receiving his presence, his love and his grace. And then I went outside and took in the sun and brought my pleasure book, which is 3 to Get Married by Fulton Sheen. I hadn't picked it up in a couple months. And I decided to read a chapter from there. And of course, the chapter I opened up to is called What is Love? And the first two paragraphs and the whole chapter is about like, what is God's love? And even within the first two paragraphs, it literally talks about perfectionism and how if we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. So striving for perfectionism is actually the opposite of the gospel. And it was just another moment of the Lord being like, see, I know what you need. Just like lean into me, like lean into my love, you know? And I went back to the chapel later and prayed liturgy at the hours with the sisters. And their singing was like a heavenly choir. And
Then I spent time sitting and watching the horses outside. I prayed the rosary, and then I took out my paints and I painted the rest of the day. And it was just beautiful, beautiful scenery, so calming. I mean, a painting takes hours and hours and hours to paint, so I didn't get super far, but it was just so calming to even sit and like paint on my canvas and know that I had nowhere else to be. This is where I was supposed to be, in God's gorgeous nature, time spent with Him, doing something that's life-giving. And by the end of the day, I just felt so much peace. I felt this stillness in my soul that I feel like I hadn't felt in years, that I have been searching for. And my whole drive home was just beautiful, playing worship music and just taking in the beautiful scenery, even on the drive home. And I remember I got home and I was just like, wow, like this like peace and this stillness is truly what I should be living out of in my day to day, like not out of this like rush or belief that I need to be productive, but to just live out of this identity of being beloved, right? Like be loved by God. And that's where you start. So I hope that all that gives you some food for thought. Maybe the Lord is using some of this to tug at your heartstrings and lead you closer to Him, or lead you to recognize that you need more silence in your life, or that you need to maybe also heal from perfectionism in a sense. And maybe you need rest. So this kind of leads me to the final update that we're here to share about.
You know that feeling when you're standing in the grocery store aisle, staring at a label and thinking, wait, is sunflower lecithin bad now? How do I even pronounce that? And what even is natural flavoring? It's like every week there's a new list of ingredients to avoid, and trying to shop clean starts feeling like a full-time job. That's exactly why I love and switched to Thrive Market, my go-to online grocery store that delivers all my healthy essentials straight to my door. No guesswork, no grocery aisle stress, and no wondering if the food I'm feeding my family is actually good for us. With over 10,000 food additives allowed in the US these days, it's seriously overwhelming to know what's actually safe. But Thrive Market bans over 1,000 harmful ingredients from their store, so everything on their site is already vetted. It's honestly like having a clean eating best friend who already did all the research for you. Plus, the actually healthy brands, the ones that are either impossible to find at the store or crazy overpriced, Thrive has them at the best prices. I always have a few things on rotation in my cart from them. Their ceremonial grade matcha, their organic coconut water, different high protein snacks, wild caught salmon, and of course, a few of the Hue chocolate bars for a little after dinner treat. So if you're ready to make the switch and take the stress out of clean grocery shopping, head to thrivemarket.com/everbe for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift.
I really believe that our church needs faithful and well-formed leaders. So our sponsor, the Augustine Institute, offers master's degree in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education that I want to point you to. They are rooted in scripture and tradition, offered online so it's easy to get this degree, or on campus if you want to be in person, or in a hybrid format if that's what works best for you. Here, you'll be equipped to teach, lead, and evangelize clearly and confidently. Augustine Institute graduates are leading today's church in parishes, dioceses, schools, and apostolates, and you could be next. So learn more and apply at augustine.edu.
And that is that after stepping away from social media for a week and having that clarity and silence, I started to ask God more, you know, where does He want my time and energy right now? And also to kind of assess, like, how am I using that time into the different like responsibilities and jobs that I have under me, right? As a wife, as a business owner, and somebody who, you know, is leading a team and running several businesses, you know, I had to kind of evaluate, where is this time and energy going? And am I doing these things well, right? And I especially felt a desire to do things differently with the podcast. I have some new and exciting ideas for Everbe. I want to refresh it a bit. I want to bring in some new kind of like weekly segments, maybe even add this like community element to it. But I can't build something new while trying to keep the current version running at full speed. And I think a past version of me would have done that and kind of would have like made myself bend over backwards to keep it going, so that on the outside, you would have never known that there was, you know, a lot of work and scaffolding happening behind the scenes. But this more gentle, more understanding, and newer version of me that the Lord is building is showing me that it's okay to pause. And it's okay, you know, like it's okay to take a step back. And I'm not going away forever, but I realize that I need to pause the podcast for the summer to be able to focus on rebuilding Everbee in the way that I kind of have a vision for. So we'll be back in September. That's the official update. I don't have an exact date yet, but just know that the show will return and it will be even better. And we'll be back in September. But in the meantime, I would love to hear from you. I love when I hear what episodes have you loved? What do you wish that I would cover? If there is a topic that you just want to hear me talk about. And if you have any ideas too that you think would make the podcast more fun or interesting, I want to know, what do you love about other podcasts that you think would work well here? Or what would you hope that I offered for you that I haven't in the past? So you can DM me on Instagram at everbepodcast. Please send all those DMs to the Everbee Podcast Instagram so I don't miss those. I read everything and your feedback means so much. So that is the official update. I know y'all will understand, and we'll be back in September rooting us on. And the good thing is that if you haven't listened to all the episodes yet, which I'm sure you haven't, now is the perfect time to catch up. There are over 60 episodes logged in our, you know, collection here in the podcast, and you can go back to them. And I promise there's something in there that is going to bring you fruit or encouragement or inspiration, maybe something that you haven't made the time for in the past, whether that's maybe deepening your faith life or learning something about a Christ-centered marriage or clean living, all the things that I talk about. So I encourage you to go back and either re-listen to an episode or listen to some that you haven't listened to before. And that is it, you guys. That's the update. That is what I have to share right now. And just want to thank you for all your support throughout this journey. I got so many messages on Instagram of people just supporting me and taking a step back. And I know that a lot of you have been here for a long time and you've seen from afar what life has been like. And I know that because I get messages of people being like, I'd love to ask you a question, but I know you're super busy. So like, if you don't get to it, that's okay. And I honestly, like, I feel so sad when I read that because I'm like, oh, like, how do you know my life is so busy? I don't want my life to be so busy. I want balance. I want freedom. You know, I want joy. I want peace. And so if you've been here for a while, you maybe have seen what life has looked like, at least from afar. And so thank you for your support, your prayers, and just being along with me every step of the way. And also just thank you for allowing me to share so honestly. You know, I think that as somebody who strives for greatness and excellence and even perfection, it's easy to try and just present the picture perfect vision to the outside world. So thank you for allowing me to just be my real self and just kind of share the ups and the downs and the vulnerability of, yeah, me growing and learning and, you know, striving for sainthood, because that's what we're all here to do. And we are not saints yet. So that's all I have for now. It's not goodbye. It's just a little break. But thank you for being here. I love you guys. And I'll talk to you soon.
So as you know from listening to this podcast, I am passionate about living your faith out in the everyday, which is why when I was in college, I started West Coast Catholic, which is a Catholic lifestyle brand with a mission to help you experience a foretaste of heaven through modern, intentionally designed lifestyle products and prayer tools. Because the thing is, I really believe that infusing the faith into everyday items that we just use every day or that we're surrounded with in our home can help remind us of and draw us back into communion with God. So in the shop, you'll find everything from rosaries to home goods, apparel, jewelry, devotionals, and more. And everything is designed to help inspire and equip you to pursue a faith-filled life by bringing an essence of heaven into your everyday. So head on over to our website at westcoastcatholic.co and follow along on Instagram at westcoastcatholic. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at everbepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.